Down the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. All that steak talk that we had reminded me that if you go to Damaris, well, I don't think it's underrated. I think it's just unknown. Get their ribeye steak. It is excellent. They do an excellent job. Excellent job with the ribeye steak over at Damaris Barbecue. So if you're looking for, I'm telling you, really, really, and one of your most affordable steaks in the city. I'm telling you. That's saying a lot. 713-780-3776. So would you trade Deshaun Watson to Indy in the division?
Yeah. I think basically the question
is, if you're out of
would
options,
you trade him in the division?
If you don't have options. I mean, if there's no, I think you go to the division last. You don't want Deshaun coming, and you don't want to see him twice a year. You don't want to be fighting against him for the division title every year. No. No. I mean, unless you're out of options. I mean, wouldn't you send him anywhere else? And before you sent him to Indianapolis?
Yeah. I mean, I would take the best deal possible. The question is really, do you have faith in yourself? Like, the idea is you don't trade inside your own division. It's happened before, but the question is, do you have enough faith in yourself? The Texans have to find a trade partner at some point. That was really more of an exercise in, are you willing to trust yourself and have faith in yourself competing for a playoff spot enough to trade a quarterback of his caliber to a division rival? I just don't think you can do it because that's the same team that stepped on your neck for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want that to keep on being the case.
Yeah, you don't do that. I mean, there's a reason that you don't trade in division, especially a great player. I mean, I guess you could trade, trade a guard, or I mean, you want to give up. I mean, I got something. Do you get the Tevier Thomas soundbite from Lovey? You know, it was amazing how, did you see what Lovey said about Tevier Thomas? He said,
yes. Why was he asked about him?
I don't know. And, oh, by the way, you said earlier there are all little groups around each of the coaches, and there are multiple ones going on at once. How big was the group around Lovey?
I didn't get to see it.
Oh, you didn't see it.
So, no, I didn't get to see it, so I don't know. And it's actually usually equally fairly attended because there's national media. There's all the local media there. We're the only radio station that has people here. Vanessa's here actually getting interviews with Lovey Smith and Nick Cassero. Vanessa's hustling. I mean, that's the TV person in her, right?
Right.
So she's out here hustling. She's out here. I'm getting pictures at 12:47 at night where she's having drinks at Prime with people. So she's out there living her best life. Not me.
Good for her.
I'm not living my best
that's
life.
That's what you
Good
have to
for
do.
Her. Well, you're, but she's... But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm not really joking. That's how you actually network
you're doing it
here,
yeah.
And you meet. No, I am, except I got a radio show.
No, it doesn't matter. So you stay up late, and you're hungover, and then you just
I don't like doing
through.
That.
You slosh through the next
I
day.
I don't like sloshing through the next day.
Well, then you don't
day.
Do it right. That's all. Here's what asked about, can you talk about defensive back Tevier Thomas? Tevier Thomas, last year coming in, I didn't know anything about him. You can find athletes that love football. Tevier Thomas fits the profile. He was just a sponge for information, and that's what you're wanting all guys to be, with talent. We feel like we have a system that can bring out those in him. He went on to say, I know Nick Caserio and the crew are looking hard for some more Tevier Thomases. Coach
Who
talk.
Who is Tevier Thomas?
If coach talk, if you have 11 Tevier Thomases, you don't lose a game. I'm definitely saying that.
Set that question? I want to know who asked the question, because when he said Tevier Thomas, I'm like, who? Isn't that one of those street free agents?
Yeah.
He's been in the league 5 years from like Ferris State. And I honestly, that had to be a setup. Somebody had to have – who knows who Tevier Thomas is? who in the country knows who Tevier Thomas is? Why would someone ask a question about Tevier Thomas? And then he says, if you had Tevier 11 Tevier Thomases, you'd never lose. That had to be a setup from somebody. That had to be somebody inside the Texans, like, who knows how much Lovey thinks about this guy, asking that question. Who else would ask that question other than, Tevier's people?
He did. He remember the Texans had a interception return for a touchdown?
Yeah,
was that Tamir Thomas.
Oh well, that's great.
Yeah,
I'm going to check his.
He had two picks.
Oh, he has good ratings here in Pro Football Focus.
He had 86 combined tackles. I mean, he played in all 17 games.
He did?
Yeah.
Tavier Thomas played in all 17 games.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. I mean, he probably played special teams on a bunch.
Oh, some of it teams, yeah, because I'm looking here. I mean, not week one. He doesn't even show up in week one as even taking a snap. Well, hold on. Let me get to his total snaps. Snaps and grades. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, you're right. Every single week.
Every game.
Coverage snaps. He did not play week one. He did not play week three. Barely played week two. But from then on, it was on. From week four on, he got coverage. Yeah. Wow.
No.
That was weird. Tavier Thomas, who knew? Who knew who Tavier Thomas was?
I knew that he was on the team. I didn't realize that he is. So, you know, you don't need
impact.
A corner. You got
I had no idea he had that kind of impact on Lovie.
Well, apparently he did. If you have 11 tier Tavier Thomases, you are not losing a football game.
Well, shout out to the boys in the front office who found him. You know, that's one of the things that Rick Smith and Brian Game, when he was pro personnel director, and Rick Smith did really well, was fined. And Brian, I can't remember the other Brian who was with Rick beforehand, but they did a good job of pulling street free agents or just just general free agents. Tavier Thomas is another example.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you got 11 Tavier Thomases, you're going to be a small football team. You're going to be a small, small football team. But you're
just
not
can't win up front with Tavier Thomas number 7 playing nose.
Speaking of which, did you see Weidermeyer giving the business to Texas? Said, yeah, I guess they can go into the SEC this year. I don't think they'll like it, but I guess they can. And then I'll tell you this about Sark. He realized after playing Arkansas and giving up over 3 bills on the ground, he realized, I got to go get some linemen. He got the best offensive lineman in the country and one of the best. No, he didn't get the Tavier Thomas per se. But he did get a lot of line help, and you
did
know
he
what?
Get the Tavier Thomases of line help is what I'm.
Well,
asking.
Is Sark going to lose a game now if he did? No. Let's get Chris in here because he wants to talk about Deshaun. Hey, Chris.
Hey guys, how are y'all this morning?
We're good, man. How are
hey, Chris,
you?
How are we doing, man?
I'm living a dream. Just grabbed a couple of breakfast tacos, so it doesn't get any better than that. Well, hey, I had a question around Deshaun. So, like, if he doesn't play this year. First of all, I guess, at what point does his agent or people around him start saying, yo, bro, you can't sit out like 2 years? I mean, he's getting older and time's going by and he's not having the football reps and things like that. I mean, and then I guess my second question is, do you really think that the Texans are going to be able to either recoup money or force his hand if we can't do a trade, like with the NFL, recoup some money by some type of, you know, penalty where they get it back because he's not playing or refusing to play? Or is there a chance that anybody in the organization has a backbone to be like, bro, we're paying you, like, see you Sunday? Or no, do you think they just want to be done with it? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
No, you 100% can do that. I know that there's people in the public who just think you don't have to play if you don't like it there or you don't like people or whatever. I know that's people think that that's a thing, but it's not actually a thing. You can force people to play because it's a collectively bargained agreement between the two sides, the players and the owners. And this is a contract. It's a binding contract, and there are elements inside the contract that offer the Texans a chance to go after a signing bonus because of conduct detrimental or moral turpitude clause.
How about not playing?
And that's the other thing. So if you don't play, then all of a sudden an arbitrator can come in. And Deshaun can't just – you don't just get a free pass, say, my back hurts, keep giving me money. It doesn't work that way. I know that's the easy thing to cop out and say. Deshaun can just say he's hurt. No, there's MRIs that look at soft tissue that can detect. And if you don't show an injury, they can use that in arbitration. So the Texans have not done that because they're still trying to play nice. They still want to deal Deshaun Watson. But at some point, the Texans really have to say, listen, if you're not going to be a Houston Texan, we're not going to honor this contract. There's no reason that we should pay you to do nothing. We're not going to fund your legal defense team. We're just not doing that.
And don't forget, this is the same organization that as soon as the Patriots – which they didn't have any right because Nick Caserio would have moved up and been had a GM title. The Patriots want to. The Patriots said they're going to sue us. We got to. No, we're sorry. We're sorry. Whatever. You know what? They ain't fighting Deshaun and no legal battle. They ain't. They're too weak. What's going to happen is, if there's criminal charges, he'll be on the exempt list, and the Texans won't have to pay. And if there aren't any criminal charges, they're going to trade him. So, you know what? Either one way or the other, the Texans ain't paying him $35 million this year. They're just zero. To me, there is zero chance that the Texans pay them $35 million this year.
By the way, Aaron Wilson found out from John Murphy that Aaron Wilson was the one who asked the question about Tavier Thomas. So Aaron is the guy who has a lot of different players.
Yeah. All right.
I saw Aaron, as a matter of fact. You know, he lost his job at the Chronicle for making a comment about Deshaun Watson on a podcast about not Deshaun but about the women who, and he had a rough year, man. He had a really, really rough year in talking to Aaron. Aaron's a good dude. He made a comment that he shouldn't have, and he paid a really substantial price. I mean, you know, he lost his job, and he's with Pro Football Network right now, but it is a tricky, tricky time where you better be careful of the comments you make or you are done. You are absolutely done. So so apparently he's the one that asked. Get to a break, but coming up on the other side, something is happening right now on YouTube that may be the most important thing that has happened in the last decade.
Wow.
In the last decade, something is currently afoot
on YouTube.
Has just dropped.
Is it our videos that we're going to do one today?
It's in the top five most important things.
All right,
but this is the most important video that has dropped in the last 10 years.
And in a half hour, we'll do that next. In a half hour, Ben Ryder's going to join us. We've got the Culture Map Boys going to be here as well in an hour. And News of the Weird, which you can't miss today. Cannot miss today. So we got a nice show for you here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, you got a patio to talk about.
Yeah, and Steven Schell texted me this morning saying he wants to meet this next Thursday. They're going to lay out the kitchen, and they want to start the following week. So I'm finally getting my kitchen. He's going to film the whole process with his he's got a marketing company. They're going to film the process. You'll actually be able to see how he goes in, what the discussion looks like, how it's laid out, the CAD drawings. He's going to go through the whole process, which I think is really cool because this guy is so details-oriented, and that's one of the reasons that my wife loved this whole process is she's details-oriented as well. He leaves nothing to chance. And as a matter of fact, he builds into the price. His price is the price. So what happens is if they have to make any corrections, and they always have to make corrections, something's going to have to be redone, respackled. One of the stones is going to have to be regrouted, you know, something like that. From the process of beginning to end, they eat that cost. That's their cost. You pay one price, and that is the only price that you are going to pay. I mean, unless you say, oh, I want to add this, or I want to add that, or I hadn't thought about this. But once you set your price, that's it. And you're going to see the drawings, the CAD drawings that they do, which are incredibly lifelike. They are going to be able to walk you through the process of what you can have, because you may not have a vision for it. I promise you they do. They've done thousands of jobs, and so they've seen a backyard with the dimensions that you have. They understand how to build something on it. They already have a vision. They've already done work, and you can see that. Go to the website, texascustompatios.com. You'll see houses that are nothing like yours, that are way beyond yours. You'll be able to dream. But then you'll see properties that are a lot like yours, and you'll see the magic that they have done. If you want to see a simple house with a basic backyard and what they did for me, go to tcplance.com, and you'll see just how they can turn your dreams into a reality just like they did for me. TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Twitch is on fire today. You people are. If you don't have a stomach for it, don't get on Twitch and listen to the show, okay? Just don't do it.
Well, what's happening?
Oh, they're just ugly. They say ugly, ugly, ugly things all the time.
Some of them. Some of them are.
Yeah, nice. Some people are nice. Right. No, and one thing, though.
Some of them you think are your friends and they're ugly.
Holly Rachel worshiper said, no mention of the Rockets overtime last night? What? Yeah, Rockets. How about Christian Wood knocking it down to send it to overtime? The Rockets jump out early and then just get there. Mike Conley was good last night. He and Donovan Mitchell together. That pretty, pretty flipping good. The Rockets are so out of sight, out of mind that it's. But that was a good game. That's a decent basketball team that they played.
They still lost.
Yeah.
I guess that's the way you want it, right? Since we're not going to get the 28 wins like the country all wanted. The Rockets were everyone's favorite little underdog. Everyone wanted them to get to 28 wins. It's what we were all cheering for. And they're not going to get to 28 wins. So now you want them to be really competitive and lose.
That's what they're doing.
Is that where we are now?
That's what they're doing.
That was a perfect – then yesterday was your perfect game.
Yeah.
It had scoring. It had drama. It had some exciting play from some of the best young players that you have on your team. And then it still ended in a loss. You got a little extra bonus basketball. I guess in a way, John, it was the perfect scenario now that I think about it.
Şengün had one of his games, 11 minutes, 6 fouls. Good job.
Yeah, it's tough to foul Jay out. Sean
didn't pull, Jay Sean hurt his
no,
ankle.
No, Şengün was 18 minutes.
18 fouls. Minutes and whatever. It seemed like 11.
How about Jalen Green with 27? I mean, it's 47 minutes, but he was.
Yeah. How about Kevin Porter Jr. coming back?
Kevin Porter Jr. coming back
with a new do.
He did. He had one the other day too when I went and saw him with Pelicans. But he was. But Jalen Green played 47 minutes, but he's 11 of 16 from the field. That was good. And there's an article in the on the Athletic that says it's from Kelly Iko, introducing Jalen Green 2.0, 1,000 shots, Steph Curry's advice, and software updates fueling the number 2 pick's growth. And so what it is basically is it's a look at where Jalen Green is now, which is a much different place than early in the season. And that's what you want to see. You wanted to see growth during the year, and that's what's happened.
Yeah. KPJ is going to be our best player next year. How about Christian Wood with the bucket to tie and help me cover the over of 234.5? Nice.
There's nothing better.
If he doesn't hit that, if the game's over, you lose your over. That is awesome. Now,
there's nothing better than when you have an over and it goes to overtime.
Right. All right, you wanted to talk about YouTube.
Yeah, I am going to right now send I'm sending that video to you right now, and I want you to Tyler, when you get this, can you just say the title of the YouTube video when it comes in? I'm not going
to
let John.
You send it to my Gmail or?
I sent it to both of you on text.
Oh, text. Okay.
And just read the title of this most important YouTube video over the last decade. This is actually a really, really big deal, and it's one that we probably need to get into. Go ahead, Tyler.
Just received it.
Yep.
And I'm opening it.
Do I have to read this?
Boy.
No, Tyler can't.
Tyler, are you going to read this?
Read it, Tyler.
Yeah, well, I opened it up just to get the full title in
YouTube. Can play it. They're not cussing on it.
I had an ad that popped up as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've got it.
I've got it right here.
Yeah, go ahead. Read it.
Why Lance Zierlein is the best in
capital
all caps
letters.
NFL prospect film analyst featuring TLG's Angry Tariq from The Breakout.
Mm-hmm. So The Breakout, which is considered one of the best.
No one's heard of The Breakout.
It's one of the best channels
out there.
It's the
two guys in their mom's basement.
Tell them, Tyler.
1,280 people have subscribed to them on YouTube.
No, that's not true.
1,200.
No. That's
you're right. 1,280,000. I don't know.
No, 1.28, probably million.
No.
Well, there's a K. So
yeah,
well, but that's how they do
you're
it. They,
a few it's letters per, short of an M.
It's per 1,000. They do it per
1,000.
And so what they say? Forget all that. Who cares about all that? Get to the important stuff. No one cares how many people are. It's in the 1.2 range. So the important thing is it's 1.2. 1.2. The important thing is what they discuss, and that's the important thing. The important thing is the title. The important thing is the title.
No, there's,
the important thing is the meat of the conversation.
Hey, Lance, you also have a fan in the comments too, which is really great.
He
says
what does it
great
say?
Things about you. He said, "Hey, my dad, yes, sir," from one Alec Zerline.
Well, he is the one that sent it to me.
He sent it to
it's
you?
It's got nine. Yeah, but it's already got – it says nine, which I don't know what that's – probably means 9,000. It has nine thumbs up, which is – I don't know if it's per 100, per 1,000.
No, it's probably nine, period. That's all. Nine.
Is it 184K views? I think it's 184. I think all this is per 1,000, so it'd be 184,000 views.
No, it's over just, the last it's 1.8 views or whatever.
184 views.
Everything's just divided 1.84 by
views.
Apparently, it's me, Alec, and Tyler are three of those 184.
Well, I haven't watched it yet.
Well, trust me, it counts. Did the ad come on?
Too.
Did the ad come up? Yeah. Well, there's four.
I just watched four. The two.
There's four.
Oh, my gosh. This is the one. The comments, one.
It is my son.
The most important YouTube video of the last decade.
And it is, and it will be. At some point, it's going to. Listen, was like every major event in history, when Tom Brady was drafted, for example, was that an important day? Yeah, it was. Did you know it at the time? Yeah. No, you didn't. You know, when James Harden was traded, you know it was a good trade. You had no idea that James was going to become an MVP. When you drafted Hakeem Olajuwon, you didn't think he was going to be any good, and then he ended up becoming good. So those kind of things happen. When you got your hands on Deshaun Watson, did you ever think that Deshaun Watson coming out of Clemson would have 22 lawsuits pending? No. Things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I would not necessarily take a look at this and say, oh, the context of 184 views right now. What I would look at is what it's going to be, which is going to be one of the most important videos over the last decade by YouTube. I project. Ooh. I'm into projecting.
We've got an update.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Larry Futsack, ATX Hobo Girl on Twitter, tweeted out the video a couple minutes ago. Yeah, Dez. And a new comment has emerged.
Oh, no.
From one TJ McLaughlin on Twitter, said, Lance is absolutely a great analyst, so check mark there. But dude can't climb a ladder or walk over a curb without having a hospital on red alert.
Okay, let's not ruin their whole YouTube page, okay, with comments. These are guys doing great work.
You're the one that brought this. Okay, did you want to go viral today? So you got our listeners. Everybody on Twitch can make comments now.
Don't ruin their thing.
I'll tweet it out.
You actually don't. You don't.
I'm going to tweet it out so everybody can have it.
Nah.
Okay.
Okay, we're done with this. Well, play the whole video then. Here, I'll play it off of my television.
I'm going to tweet it out so everybody can have it and they can make comments.
Just listen.
And make comments.
See, if you just listen, I'm going to turn it up really loud so we can just listen to all the good things they say about me. See? So this is actually a true story. I was telling the guys from around the league this. I don't know if you know how deep the analytics now run in fantasy football. It runs really, really deep. There's an entire group – subset of analytics-driven fantasy football guys out there. And one of the guys was taking my grades, you know, my NFL grades since 2015. He was taking the grades, and he started including them. He was looking for a way to create a metric for projecting rookie fantasy running backs. So he started taking my grades and using them in his own, you know, projections based on several actual analytical, you know, metrics that they had created. And he posted on Twitter a long thread about how Lance Zerline's running back draft grades are the secret sauce for fantasy projections for rookie running backs and, you know, over the first 2 years. And so he had this long thing. And then other of the fantasy the analytics fantasy group. So I'm a bit of a – so my draft grades over the last 2 years, it turns out that I'm a bit of a star for the analytics.
In the fantasy? In the analytic fantasy world?
For running backs specifically.
Wow.
Running backs specifically. And they have, and I get tagged all the time, and the great Lance Zierlein's, you know, grades. Look at what he did. And this just happens to be, this is like the fifth or sixth thing I saw, this breakout thing. These are two guys who are into analytics draft. And so they did a whole thing about my running back grades and stuff like that. So that's just like a secret. But then whenever the analytics guys are saying, Lance, oh, man, this draft sucks for running backs. I mean, Lance's grades just kill people. I'm like, wait a minute. I actually think this is one of the deepest running back drafts I've seen in 7 years. Look at your grades. Well, look at your grades. It basically says people are trash. I'm like, no, this doesn't mean you're trash.
Well, those people are non-believers, okay?
No,
those people are not.
They're turning it on me. They're turning on me because they said, Lance, look at your grades. These guys are trash. I'm like, listen, guys, a 6.3, you can be a good running back. I said, these are not my fantasy grades. These are just draft grades.
Mm. Lance.
Then I didn't want to ruin my status. So
some kind of deity.
Simmered down.
Lance is some kind of deity in the fantasy analytics world. The
That's
nerd
right.
fantasy
right.
analytics world.
I'm sorry. Which one of us is a known numbers guy? That would be me. And all this does was further bolster my case of being one of the ultimate numbers guys in the country.
Here's a number. A 2-minute break right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
A lot of players not under contract on the interior of the offensive line and, you know, on the edge of the offense, a tight end, you know, and running back. So two or three running backs that played a fair amount last year aren't under contract. So I would say offensively, there's some areas that we're going to have to look to address or fill. To a certain extent, the same exists on the defensive side of the ball as well. Yeah, you know, when you sign a number of players to one-year deals and you have 31, 32 players that are free agents, so there's a lot of gaps, there's a lot of holes.
Yeah, even if you had multiple contracts, you have a lot of holes. There's a lot of holes to fill. That was on Pro Football Talk, Nick Caserio talking about the immediate needs. Immediate needs, Lance. Number one, defensive line.
Yeah, I guess so.
Number two, corner.
Yeah, I don't know how to rank them. I mean, I think interior line is a massive need. You got to run the football. Yesterday,
A running back.
Let's pull up Lovie Smith talking about Pep Hamilton and running the football. He talked with Pep Hamilton. Of course, there's Vanessa Richardson talked to her. Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio talked to him. We've got cuts from I think the when he was up on the panel. But he had a comment. Tell me when you have it, Tyler, with about Pep Hamilton. And Pep wants to run a football. Running a football is very important to Pep Hamilton.
Yeah, well, I guess it is, except when you look back at his years as the OC with the Colts, he ran the ball less than anybody.
Yeah, that was a while back.
Yeah, but when he was OC.
But Pep he also had a quarterback by the name of Peyton Manning. He has Davis Mills.
No, he had Andrew Luck.
Oh, no, that's right. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good, too.
Pretty good guy, too. Yeah, that was who was that? Tom Moore? Who was it back in the old – I can't remember the play caller back in the old Indianapolis days. But was it Tom Moore? I think Tom Moore actually was a play caller. But Pep Hamilton wants to run the football and protect his quarterback. That's the best way to build a young quarterback up. Look at how Russell Wilson came up. Look at how Ben Roethlisberger came up. Run the ball. They ran the ball early in their career and let them grow into the position and didn't get them killed. That's the best way. Andrew Luck got killed. He's out of football. That's how it can escalate on a young quarterback. So, Tyler, do you have that, Tyler?
I can't find it. I don't have it.
Okay. Well, what he basically said was Pep Hamilton, and maybe we don't have the sound. I read it on the transcripts. Is that it was important to get the offensive line taken care of and to run the football. That was very, very important. And I think when you look at the Houston Texans from guard to guard, it ain't good enough. I mean, it's not even remotely good enough. So I think from guard to guard, they've really got to add pieces.
So Sharping,
I would add a free
was a
agent.
Waste. Sharping was a waste to pick.
Sharping was a waste. Sharping was a waste. He'll go back to camp this year. You know, he's going to go to camp in year four, but he may not even make the team. So, yeah, Max Sharping's not going to be a hit. Britt was always going to be just a Band-Aid. They're not good at right guard either. So your left guard, your center, your right guard, you're not really good enough. Now, you may try to they're going to try to play Tytus Howard at guard and play, which I don't think is the right move either. He's not a guard. And play Charlie Heck at tackle and Laramie at the other side. We'll see. But you've got, if you want to run the ball this year, A, it's a great year to get a running back later in the draft. You can go get a guy who can be an effective runner in the fifth round this year. That's how deep the running back draft is. But it's not going to work if you don't have a better guard, center, guard. You're going to have to get that fixed. So we keep talking about, yeah, but you're right. I mean, cornerback, I mean, despite the great Tavier Thomas, you are going to have to find another Tavier Thomas out there, apparently, on the other side. You have to find you're right, defensive line. You have so Lovey's defensive philosophy is always upfield. He wants guys in the gaps, like Malik Collins. They're going to re-sign him because that's a classic Rod Marinelli, Lovey Smith, up the field, one gapping, three technique. So that's what they want. But they want certain types of guys. Lovey knows what types of guys he wants, so I think he'll be able to find them. I actually have a lot of confidence that they'll be able to find guys in the defensive front. What I don't have great confidence is that they'll fix the offensive line from a run-blocking standpoint. So don't be shocked if that gets a little more over the first four rounds if offensive line gets a priority. Because if you, the best way to take care of Davis Mills right now is finding a better offensive line. And I think it has to be a priority. It just has to. And running the football has got to be a priority this year.
Yeah, but you also get some guys in there that can run the – I mean, and you can find them later. But
yeah, you can find them later.
Put something into it. Goodness gracious. They put nothing – in. Now, they did put it into the offensive line. They went and got Tunsil and gave up two firsts for him. They went and got Tytus Howard and gave up first. Max Sharping was, what, a second or a third? I mean, they put stuff into that offensive line. They just didn't do it well. But they haven't put anything into the running. When was the last time they put anything into the running back position?
Well, here's Lovey Smith talking about that very position right here.
Just like most positions, we weren't satisfied with what we were able to get production from that running back position. If you're running football team, you have to have a bell cow. And, you know, we're going to dress probably three guys each week, and they need to be able to contribute some way. But I'm kind of stating the obvious right now. But just like most of our positions, we need to add depth. And not just depth. We need to add good football players there. Danny is an excellent football coach, and I'm sure we'll be able to do that.
All right, taking a break here. When we come back, Ben Ryder going to join us to talk about baseball. Ben Ryder. Baseball writer, going to be here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I'm talking about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's John Clay Wolf and the greatness that is John Clay Wolf and giving you more for your vehicle. And if he can't beat the CarMax offer, guess what? He's going to give you $100. Guess what he never does? He never gives you $100. You know why? Because he beats them every time. It's unbelievable. So you want to sell that vehicle? Of course you do. I mean, you know, listen, this is a great time to sell too. Now, not a great time to buy because, you know, they're more expensive now and everything else and takes longer and there's no chips and there's no employees. And so it's a very difficult time. But if you got something that you already know, you got your eye on something that you can get, man, this is a great time to sell that vehicle. So get it to John Clay Wolf, and he's going to give you more for it. Gave me more for mine. He's going to give you more for yours. It's just what he does every single time. You can hear him Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's a pretty funny show. So all you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. You want to sell that car? GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, let's talk some baseball. Ben Ryder, he's been on the show before. He's hosted The Edge and author of Astro Ball. He's got a two-part series come out right now, as a matter of fact, about the sign stealing scandal, and he's with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ben, welcome back. How are you?
Good. Good morning, fellas. Nice to talk to you again.
We appreciate you being here. Ben, this I have not seen one positive thing. Do you think, are they living up on in a high castle where they can't get any of the PR that's happening for baseball right now? Or do you think that that Manfred is hearing it and maybe, just maybe, it's going to get them to start moving a little bit?
I don't see much movement at all, you know. And I think what we need to understand here, at least from my perspective, is that these negotiations were never really about finding a deal. And when I say a deal, I mean a fair and equitable give and take for both sides. This is really a question, ultimately, about are the owners going to break the players' union or not? And the players' union have not broken yet, and that's why we're here. But looking to this negotiation from years ago, I thought this was going to be an absolute war over a system that's really become increasingly unfair to players as far as team control for 6 years of their careers, at which point a lot of these players are past their primes already by the time they finally hit the open market, et cetera, et cetera. None of that's even on the table, right? This is really about just like a little bit more share of these exploding revenues going towards the players. The owners seem not even willing to do that. So that's really where we are. You know, are the players just going to accept whatever and break or not? That seems to be the question that's guiding this stuff.
Well, are they? Can they break them?
I mean, eventually, I think, you know, like everybody talks about how this is a battle between billionaires and millionaires, right? So it's hard to have sympathy for either side. Of course, like billionaires are much different than millionaires as far as scale. And the fact is that 50% of major league players are playing on the minimum salary anyway, which is a great salary, obviously, by the standard of anybody. But it's still the minimum. These aren't millionaires. It is a lot harder, and the owners know this. This is always their advantage. It's a lot harder for the players to go without compensation and to hold out forever than it is, clearly, for the much more wealthy owners. But I will say that there seems to be a resolve in the ranks of the players, in the players' union, that is unprecedented, I would say, in recent years. I mean, they've obviously had resolve before, but there seems to be an absolute united front so far, and no signs whatsoever of anybody breaking or anybody saying, you know what, we're calling uncle, we're well-compensated athletes, let's just play anyway.
Yeah, not now, but when you talk, one of the big problems is like you said, 50% of the leagues is minimum salary. The middle class is getting squeezed out, like it always does. The middle class is going to get squeezed out because you want as low a salaries as you possibly have to pay. But those guys that are the 50%, they're going to start squawking if they don't get on the field pretty soon.
Yeah, they have to, and I get that. That really is the leverage that the owners have. I just can't believe when I look at these numbers. Like, look, they're big numbers, right? Which is, this is obviously industry. These are the best people in the world at what they do. They're huge numbers, but like the differences just aren't that big to lead to something that would, you know, we lost games already. This is like going to be a PR disaster for the league. They could lose, you know, fans for years to come, right? Like the owners offer, quote unquote, as far as the competitive balance tax, which is really the main issue because it's really functions like a salary cap. They want to raise it from $220 million to $230 million over the course of 5 years. Like that doesn't even keep up with inflation, let alone with the rising revenues that Major League Baseball has seen with the pandemic year aside. And the players aren't asking for all that much more, $238 million to $263 million over that five-year span. Like, that's eminently affordable and reasonable given the financial model of the league. But, like, this is the big difference between the sides, and this is why we're not going to have opening day this year. It kind of boggles the mind in some ways.
It sucks. It just sucks. I mean,
yeah.
I could
wish
see.
We're talking about like other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this plenty of times. I mean, it's not like there's some big, important, crucial issue. It's just about more money. That's all it is, and that just sucks. And you know what, baseball, you can't afford it. It's not like already you don't have, you know, you haven't been losing market share to football and basketball and every other and soccer and everything else, and now this. Rob Manfred, what do you think of Rob Manfred as a commissioner?
Oh, I mean, you know, he's had some publicity failures, clearly, including recently. But again, and, you know, I talked about this a lot at the end of my podcast, The Edge. Like, he works for the owners. You know, he's essentially taking orders, from the owners, and he's compensated very well for that. So, like, you know, his publicity missteps or his public relations missteps aside, like, this is coming from the owners, or at least a coalition of owners among the 30 of them that wants to operate this way. Yeah, I mean, look, I just keep coming back to the fact that the players are not asking for that much. They're not asking to overhaul this kind of outdated, unfair system. You know, I talked to Faye Vincent, the former commissioner, for my podcast, and he said, and this is a guy who came from the management side at least some time ago, although he was famous for operating very independently. He said he thinks it would be fair for the players to get equity in their teams that they've helped create so much value for, right? Like stock options in a company, right? Like a lot of employees in very valuable, explosive revenue businesses get stock options. Like, he thinks it would be fair for players to start getting a piece of that. Because when an owner buys a team for a few $100 million and sells it for a couple billion, players don't get any of that at all. Like, something like that is so far from the bargaining table, right? Like, there's nothing crazy like that. It's just a few more bucks to the players. Like, that's what this is all about.
That's crazy. It sucks. It just sucks. I'm looking at your Hall of Fame ballot right now. You don't care about steroids, apparently.
I do care about steroids. I do care about steroids. I think that, look, this is a museum, the Hall of Fame, devoted to the game's history. And I think that you just cannot tell the story of baseball in, you know, the early part of this millennium without players like Barry Bonds, probably the greatest hitter of all time, Roger Clemens, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, you know, and even somebody like Sammy Sosa. And unfortunately, so few players have been elected to the Hall of Fame recently. There is just an absolute backlog of these guys. And, you know, I just had to keep voting for them. Although, clearly, I won't have another chance to vote for some of those names like Clemens and Bonds and Sosa because they're off the ballot after this year.
Ben Ryder with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, how about what Doug Glanville said? Let's have a special section of the Hall of Fame dedicated to the steroid era and those guys mentioned there. But let's not glorify them by giving them, places in the hall when we know that they cheated.
Sure, we can do that. I wasn't given a chance to vote on whether there should be a special section or not this year. I understand why a player like Doug Glanville, who played clean, would feel resentful of all his competitors who didn't. I totally get it. But when it comes down to it, these are defining players of their era, steroid use or not. And given my choice, whether to vote for them or not vote for them, I chose to vote for them. Although, you know, obviously they didn't make it. So this debate, unfortunately, is going to continue for years and years to come as they get into the Veterans Committee and stuff like this. This is where baseball is, though, now, man, right? It's like we should be talking opening day. We should be talking where's Carlos Correa going. Like, all we got to talk about is, like, labor strife and steroids guys in the Hall of Fame. Like, it's kind of a sad state of affairs, right? Like, I know that baseball wants a higher national profile, and, you know, to their credit, like, this stuff does get them on the sports pages, but, like, this is not what anybody wants to really talk about, or probably what a lot of people want to hear about as related to baseball. I think it's a sign of kind of bigger problems ahead for this sport, some of those problems we know pretty well about already.
Yeah. Well, my biggest issue with the Hall of Fame is that Lance Berkman was off after 1 year. A 943 career OPS in 15 seasons. He's better than a bunch of guys that are in there, and he doesn't even get a second chance at being voted on. That's ridiculous. Hall of Fame is ridiculous.
Funny. It's funny, and again, this is a vote, right? So you need 5% to stay on the ballot. But it's funny how some players get kind of like public campaigns, sort of, or like underground sort of campaigns. Like, there's a lot of people, based on my Twitter responses, who are really, really passionate about Scott Rowland's candidacy, right, for a Hall of Fame. Scott Rowland's a really great baseball player, a really great third baseman. But is he, like, definitively much better than Lance Berkman? Probably not. And at the end of the day, you know, nothing against Scott Rolen, but are people going to be, like, driving up to Cooperstown, New York in the middle of nowhere to go to a museum to, like, look at a plaque about Scott Rolen? Like, probably not. I don't know why people kind of get so passionate. I respect the passion, but there are certain players. Tim Raines was one a few years ago. Certain players that get this kind of groundswell of support behind them, and other players that don't. Like, I don't get why Johan Santana, who was, like, the most dominant pitcher in baseball for 7 years or something like that, didn't really get a sniff of the Hall of Fame either. I didn't get a chance even to vote for Johan Santana. That's another one I would scratch my head about.
Hmm. Yeah, you didn't vote for Todd Helton this year.
I did vote for Todd Helton 2 years ago.
Okay.
I ran out of space this year.
Yeah.
Same with Rowland.
Well, you had to have all those steroid guys in there. I got it. I
get it. You know, as we discussed, I love steroid guys. That's my ballot.
Big steroid guy. I'm a big, big steroid guy.
Huge steroid dude. Yeah, that's me.
Ben Ryder, man, we appreciate it. This sucks, hopefully. You know what? When they come back, we'll have you on, and we'll talk about Carlos Correa. How's that?
I would love it. You know, that's the stuff that's fun to talk about. Although, you know what? I mean, I get it. This stuff has real-world implications as well as being kind of the only thing to talk about. So I guess this is where we are for the foreseeable future.
Yep. Ben, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging.
All right. Later, guys.
There's Ben Ryder right here on ESPN 97.5 and 98.5. All right. 703-780-3776. The number, if you'd like to get in here.
John, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just wanted you to handle it since we're not in the same room, but I listened to the whole thing. Am I the only one that got a little bit of, like, a baseball Norm McDonald? Yeah, so it seems like Carlos Correa there would have been I guess a little Carlos Correa talk there. Yeah, Scott Rolen, no one's going to see Scott Rolen play. Yeah, a crack whore running around there, Johan Santana, crack whore or something like that there.
I didn't get that at all.
I don't know. Just every once in a while, his voice out here like, talking about Carlos Correa there, whether he's going to go on a free agency. Maybe a free agent crack whore come right there.
I didn't get that.
Who knows?
Well, maybe. I didn't hear him say crack whore, though. I didn't.
No, I didn't either, how you – once you say that, you know you're doing a norm. You know, when you say
crack whore. You got to say crack whore, yeah.
Sign my mom with some words. Crack whore. And then that's it.
Yeah. Good. All right. When we come back, James Harden is doing it. Interesting question.
He's given his greatest, like, this just proves, listen, anyone that puts a cape on for James, what's happening right now is perfect proof that James has total control at all times. When he's jaking it, it's on purpose.
Oh, no question.
James is totally, I just can't do anything now. Oh, triple doubles are back. Looky here.
We'll do it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.